What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for joining me for another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoCincy.com. Remember, that is OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis Thayer, and I've been telling you throughout the day that we were going to welcome the South Dearborn Knights football program on the show tonight. Unfortunately, something has come up. South Dearborn could not make it tonight, so we have them penciled in for next Monday. We certainly want to have Coach Ballard and his star players on the show, and we hope that that will happen next Monday. We also look forward to having the Lawrenceburg Tigers football program on in the coming weeks as well, and once we get through talking to those two teams, we will certainly have some other guests throughout the fall as the fall high school sports season has started, and we are certainly excited about that fall high school sports season, particularly football. We will get our broadcast schedule started this Friday with the opening contest at Lawrenceburg as the number 2 team in Class 3A going to host the number 6 team in Class 4A as the East Central Trojans will be coming to Tigertown on Friday. We're going to have more on that game coming up a little bit later on in the show, but as we normally do, we're going to start out with who's making headlines and see what's going on in the sports world here in Eagle Country. And I actually do want to start with a Lawrenceburg High School football player. Everyone has heard of Ashton Craig by now. He has been starring for the Tigers for a long, long time and is eventually going to travel up north and go to college at Notre Dame and play football there as well, as he committed there a little bit earlier on this year. But Ashton, obviously with the a lot of stars next to his name in terms of his recruiting, that's going to translate to the field. A star player in his own right, and he has been recently named to Indiana Prep Small All School preseason top 22 All State team, also named to Max Prep's Indiana All State first team offense at 6'5, 283 pounds. And being a Notre Dame commit, you can see why he has the talent to be an All State caliber player. He was actually an All State player by the Indiana Football Coaches Association last year as a Class 3A junior All State selection. And he earned 25 or so odd Division I offers, landed on Notre Dame, and that is certainly a good breeding ground for any offensive line prospect. Ashton will star as a left tackle for the Tigers this year. We'll also play some defensive end, but it sounds like he may be moving to center at the next level. And he's certainly going to help anchor that Tigers offensive line this year that paved the way for 214 rushing yards per game in 2020. And speaking of Ashton Craig, I want to go back to this past weekend. It was this Saturday here in downtown Lawrenceburg, and it was the annual fire truck pull to benefit Special Olympics Indiana, and the Lawrenceburg Tigers football program was a participant in the fire truck pull. They actually placed third overall for the fastest time, but the most important thing, they were number one in raising money. Over $2,200 the Tigers raised for Special Olympics. Kane Ferreria, he actually raised the most money by a Special Olympian, $1,200, and he is on the Tigers roster. And then the aforementioned Ashton Craig raising the most money by an individual with $415. And we at Eagle Country 99.3 had the pleasure of participating in this event as well. And wouldn't you know it, we were last in line each round to pull the fire truck. And we had to go after the Lawrenceburg Tigers football program, who definitely put us to shame. But certainly a great event here in downtown Lawrenceburg. We do want to throw a shout out to the Whiskey City Rope Burners, City of Lawrenceburg employees. They had the fastest pull during this Special Olympics fire truck pull. And we want to recognize South Ripley High School. They were the winning team in the lowest combined weight challenge. So congratulations to all, and thank you so much to everybody that did participate in that fire truck pull, because the proceeds benefit local Special Olympians so that they can train year-round, get out to local, regional, statewide, national, and even sometimes international events. So this is one of their biggest fundraisers of the year, and certainly appreciated on behalf of Special Olympics Indiana, those that came out and participated. Moving right along, fans of golf will find this very, very interesting. This was a story that we had for you at the end of last week, but this makes me wish that I could go back in time, go back to high school, and actually attend Harrison High School, because their golf program is, they're taking things to the next level, and jealousy, I don't even know if that's the right word for it, but Hitting Henry's home course unveiled last week. This is located in a vacated classroom. It is an indoor instruction facility. They have two hitting bays with real field, top-of-the-line hitting mats, and two golf simulators that also have swing analyzers. You see this a lot with the Top Golfs of the world, that kind of stuff, where you can see exactly what your flight pattern is, the velocity, all that good stuff, so you can tweak your swing. And this is obviously going to be something that they can use year-round. Got a putting green in there as well, so when the months start to get a little colder and it's not so accessible to get out on an actual golf course, the kids at Harrison High School are going to be able to improve their golf game year-around, and the space is going to be used for the boys and girls high school teams, and the junior high programs will have a chance to improve their game at Hitting Henry's home course as well. You got to go over to EagleCountryOnline.com. A bunch of photos and even a video of Hitting Henry's. It is absolutely phenomenal. And if we can, get something like this at my home sometime in the future, I would be tickled to death. It's never going to happen, but you know what I'm saying. Everybody that loves golf wish they had a golf simulator at home, and these kids at Harrison High School are going to be spoiled with this for many years to come. I mentioned a little bit earlier that the fall high school sports season has started, which means the local sports report is back over at EagleCountryOnline.com, and there were certainly some standouts over the weekend. And boys soccer, I want to start there with South Dearborn. They won their opening contest 8-1 against Holmes out of Northern Kentucky, and Ashton Cotton and Dana Lewis wasted no time making sure that people know that they are very good at what they do. A hat trick for both of those young men and two assists apiece as they helped the Knights win that first game of the season. Batesville Athletics had the busiest weekend of all. They were a winner in boys soccer 6-0 over Milan. Girls soccer, South Dearborn a 3-3 draw with St. Henry on Saturday. The Batesville girls a 3-0 winner over Seymour. Tristan Rolette had a goal and assist in that game. Haley Lips and Olivia Knieven with a goal each to power the Lady Bulldogs. I mentioned Batesville was busy over the weekend. Their boys tennis team a 5-0 win over Richmond, and their volleyball team a 3-0 winner over Milan. So a good start to the high school sports slate for Batesville as they swept all their games in various sports. South Dearborn off to a good start as well, specifically in boys and girls soccer. Plenty of more games going to follow tonight in girls soccer. South Dearborn, who we just mentioned, they're taking on Connor this evening. These games should all be in progress by now. East Central taking on Franklin County, early EIAC game, and Milan will square off with Switzerland County again in girls soccer tonight. In volleyball, Batesville looking to make it 2-0 against South Ripley. South Dearborn will open up against Southwestern Hanover, and East Central and Greensburg, two very good teams there in the EIAC. See clashing tonight as well. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Tremba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at orthosensi.com. So we will transition into high school football now and preview some of the matchups that are going to happen this Friday to open up the season. And I guess we should start with the big one that we're going to be covering on Friday night. I mentioned Lawrenceburg and East Central squaring off game one of the season in the Pit, and this is going to be another year where Lawrenceburg is looking for that elusive win against the East Central Trojans. They have not defeated the Trojans in football since 1992. Lawrenceburg, maybe their program is in a little bit different standing nowadays than they have been over the past 30 years. There's certainly been some really good years, but under Coach Ryan Kniga, in the 10 years that he has been there, they have won 5 sectional championships. They've had a winning season 8 out of the 10 years that Coach K has been at the helm. So entering year 11 for Coach K, this may be arguably the best team that he has on paper coming back, as they do return 17 starters on this team, including their 4-year senior starter at quarterback, Garrett Yoon. He's getting looks from a lot of big-time schools, certainly a smart individual as well, as he is getting some looks from Ivy League schools. His top target down the field, Daya Patel, he's got some D1 looks. And, of course, I mentioned Ashton Craig, who's already committed to Notre Dame. And that's not to discount some of the other names that probably won't go D1 but still could play at a very high level in college. Aiden Gilmore is a name that pops out to me, not only as he thrived as a wide receiver, but they call it Gilly Island as he plays cornerback. And this is a Tigers defense where their defensive coordinator is very happy to just let their corners play on an island. They got good help over the top with their safety play and Luke Pierce and Jace Bohan. I got to mention Brendan Bushman on the other side playing that other cornerback spot, because all 4 of these individuals played in the secondary, started in the secondary last year, and this is going to be a big-time strength for the Tigers going forward this year. It's going to be very difficult to pass the ball on this team. They will have some new-ish faces up front on that defensive line with Micah Foster and Colton Roth slated to join Ashton Craig up front. They have certainly have experience, but haven't been starters there on the defensive side of the ball. They got Jacob Pierce and Alex Witte, among others, that are going to play at that linebacker spot, including freshman Noah Kniga, who has a bright future for this team. But I think when you think about the Tigers, you look at them offensively with Garrett Yoon. He has had back-to-back 2,000-yard passing seasons and 1,000-yard rushing seasons. And this year, he will no doubt go over 10,000 career yards for his career. He has 107 total touchdowns in his 3 years as the quarterback of the Tigers. But this game against East Central has been one that has been a little bit of a downer for Garrett, just to have some brutal honesty out there. Last year, it wasn't such a bad game for him, but turnovers have kind of been the thing that have downed the Tigers against East Central in recent years. But Garrett went 16-32 for 157 yards and an interception last year. That QB rating was at 51. That's going to need to be much better this year if the Tigers have a chance of beating the East Central Trojans. Tigers ran the ball pretty decent against EC last year, 147 yards, average 4 yards a carry. Again, that's good enough to kind of move the sticks along, but Tigers, this is an offense. They want to have the big explosive plays, put some big numbers up on the scoreboard. That's going to be easier said than done against this East Central team, even though they have a lot of new names at key positions. We'll get to that here in just a second. But one of the matchups I'm looking forward to is Daya Patel going up against Cooper Hogue, who is arguably the best cornerback on this EC team. They'll also have Jack Rainier out there. Both have good size at 6'1", which is going to match up with Daya Patel. Very tall. He's very fast, can get down the field. He's got a good route tree. He's not just going to run fly pattern down the sideline. He's going to be running all of the routes, short, intermediate, deep. So it's going to be a tough task for this EC defense, but their defensive secondary is maybe the strong part of their defense as well, with Sam Ringer and Charlie Usen back there as well. So it's going to be a real interesting time watching the Tigers offense, specifically in the passing game against this EC defense. And looking at them up front, they're certainly going to have some nice players on their defensive line, as they normally do. David Nash, Ryan Bavard back as the leader in the middle there, and Sean Bailey will be up front for EC. Hunter Soans, he kind of runs everything in the middle. He is looked upon to be one of their star players this year. Linebacking is always a strong part for this EC team. They're going to have some new names there, replacing the likes of Cole Veal and Nate Griffin, some of these guys that have starred there for years that have moved on to play some college ball. But one of the big things that you're going to look at when seeing this East Central team this year is there's going to be a new quarterback under center, Ryan Ryan Bond has done some really nice things for this team over the past couple years, but he has graduated, and that makes way for a new quarterback, and this is... something that this isn't a spoiler or anything. Teams in the EIAC share rosters, so this is not information that teams don't already know, but it does appear that Cole Burton will be the starting quarterback for the East Central Trojans, just a sophomore, and he is going to be paired in the backfield with running back Josh Ringer, who is also a sophomore, and the threat of having these two kids together for the next 3 years is something that opposing teams are going to hate, but something that head coach Jake Miners is going to love, because we already saw Josh Ringer break onto the scene as a freshman last year. 714 yards, 9 touchdowns. You don't often see freshmen star in that running back role. And we heard from Sam, Josh's older brother, a little bit earlier on in the crunch time season. And Sam said that Josh has put on nearly, 20, 25 pounds in the off season, closer to 190 this year than the 160 he played at last year. So not only will Josh have some breakaway speed there offensively, but with that extra muscle, going to be able to break some more tackles and get those tough yards, move the chains for this East Central offense, which is all about running the ball. Grant Ertle is going to be a great lead blocker for Josh, and they have a big Blake Gendling at tight end, 6'7", around 200 pounds. Not only will he be a blocker, but a good tall target for Cole Burton to look for down the field. They bring back their top receiver from last year in Nate Busing, who had about 200 yards. Again, that doesn't seem like it's astronomical numbers, but again, you have to realize that East Central does not pass the ball a whole lot, but they do have some guys that can get down the field and make some plays with their hands. But if you go back and listen to the interview we had with Coach Miners and his senior captains, Nate himself said that he loves to block, and when you have receivers that are willing to block and can kind of help set that edge for guys like Josh Ringer and Trey Omer, that's exactly what East Central wants to do: run the ball down your throat, play some really exceptional defense, and just kind of physically and mentally wear teams down throughout the game. So that's kind of what we're looking at for East Central and Lawrenceburg coming up this Friday. Of course, myself and Chuck Thomas will have more insight on this game with our pregame coverage coming up around 6:40 on Friday. Really looking forward to hearing what Chuck has to say about these two particular teams. I know he's been doing his homework and always has some great insight and stats about the teams that we are covering, and this should be an exceptional game. Like I said, some of the big game storylines are going to be, can the Tigers finally get over the hump and defeat East Central, a team they haven't beat since 1992? Will all that experience coming back for the Tigers lend a helping hand in potentially beating East Central, or will this be a year where the maybe inexperienced Trojans show that they are very, very talented and that these kids have just simply waited their turn to star for the Trojans, but it will be same old for East Central as the beat goes on and they don't ever rebuild. They just reload. That's kind of some of the storylines I'll be looking at heading into Friday's contest. Now, you are listening to Crunch Time here, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can learn more about their services, their physicians, and just about anything you want to know about OrthoSensi on their website, orthosensi.com. And remember, Sensi is spelled with a Y. Some of the other games happening this Friday, we certainly want to take a look at South Dearborn and what you can maybe expect in their game coming up against the Seymour Owls. This is a team that they have started the season with now 4 years in a row. Seymour won the first two meetings when they started this series up, but the Knights winning last year with a 36-21 win week one. And like I mentioned, South Dearborn is going to play their first four games at home, a really good opportunity to get off on a strong start of the season. We've seen South Dearborn have some really strong starts to the season and then get to the back half of their schedule when it maybe toughens up a little bit in conference with the likes of East Central, Franklin County, and Lawrenceburg, who have been pretty good this over the past couple of years. But again, Seymour, Madison, Batesville, and then a conference game against Connersville to start this season off. But looking at this Seymour game, this is going to be an interesting game for the Knights' perspective, especially seeing a lot of new faces on the defensive side of the ball. This is where South Dearborn hangs their hat. I believe when Coach Ballard and his boys come through next week, you're going to hear him talk about the defensive side of the ball. They're just a couple years removed from being one of the best defensive teams in the state, holding teams to under 10 points per game. They would like to do that on a yearly basis. Last year, I think Coach Ballard and his staff would admit, was not their best season defensively, giving up over 21 points per game. They want to see that number come way down this year, and they will try to get off to a good start against Seymour on Friday. And one of the things that I see looking at their depth chart, one of their top returning players was Cooper Barker, who played at a safety last year. It does look like he is going to move to the defensive line. Linebacker should be a strong spot for South Dearborn this year with Sean Somer and Ashton Kittle back. They'll also welcome Landon Herzner into the mix there at the linebacker position. I do think South Dearborn's got some good beef up front. They're going to have to replace some really, really good players with Valdez and Hatfield moving on. Also, their defensive secondary, losing the likes of Bailey Whitelock and Hunter Hatfield, those are not going to be easy guys to replace. But they do have some talent coming back. They have some senior leadership that should help as well. And then when you look at South Dearborn offensively, I think this could actually be a year where they look to their offense to be more of the game-changing type part of their team rather than the defense. They welcome back Logan Tease, who's going to be a junior quarterback, 6'5", can certainly see and get the ball down the field. And this is a guy we've talked about in the past. Coach Ballard even said himself they think that he can progress to reach the potential of an Adam Dixon, who was an all-state caliber player. And Logan's going to have some good targets down the field and some tall targets as well when you start looking at the Reese Willoughbys of the world, Austin Ballard, good size there. Even Isaiah Otto coming out of the slot gives you some good size as well. And Justin McGraw will play at tight end. CJ Rogers coming back as their leading rusher from last year should pick up right where he left off. He'll have Caden Gump and CJ Evans complementing him in the backfield as well. So again, South Dearborn has a lot of talent. They got some big boys up front that can move some defenders out of the way, open up some lanes for Rogers, give T some time to throw. And this Seymour team that they're going up against was only 3-7 last year. South Dearborn was 4-5. So both teams are looking to get off to a better start this year. Probably going to play with a chip on their shoulder. For Seymour, they do have some players coming back with starting experience. They'll have 6 returning starters on the offense. They will run a spread attack, averaged 21 points per game last year, and they are balanced. They will run it and throw it, but they do have a new quarterback, so we'll see if that changes their balanced attack. Last year, they had a very nice quarterback in Corey Rubel, who threw for over 1,400 yards, also ran for over 300, accounted for 15 touchdowns. They will turn to junior Will Gray to be their quarterback this year. He's got some young targets there on offense, and they also graduated their 2 senior running backs. So a little bit of an inexperienced team here. Their front line will be experienced, so maybe that helps a young quarterback and young playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. But that kind of lets me know that South Dearborn is going to come out and try to get after this team and certainly maybe bring some blitzes at young Will Gray. It's going to be a very, very fun game to start out the season for both of these teams, specifically South Dearborn, who is looking to defeat Seymour for the second time in a row. And we certainly wish the Knights the best of luck in that opening contest. As for the Milan Indians, they will be hosting Rushville to open up their season. This is something we've seen the last couple of years with Milan playing some bigger schools as they have beefed up their schedule this year. They will play as an independent. They have the whole 3A side of the EIAC on their schedule, and they will play 3 of those teams the first 3 weeks of the season. Home against Rushville, at Batesville, and then home against Lawrenceburg. They'll play Greensburg a little bit later on in the season. Those will certainly be games that test the Milan Indians. Again, just a 1A school, as they really want to prepare themselves during the regular season for the sectional. And it's quite obvious that every team does that to a certain extent. But Milan is really has to put all their eggs in one basket to go win the sectional this year because they don't have a conference championship to play for being an independent. Again, the conference, the Mid-Indiana Football Conference, disbanding, mutually disbanding, as you can read more about that over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But this is going to be a, I think, helpful thing for Milan. They got teams like Madison and New Miami, Eastern Hancock, and Providence on the schedule as well. And they should be battle-tested as they go into Sectional 47 this year, presumably maybe on a collision course with North Decatur as they have been over the past couple of seasons. But Milan playing this Rushville team, even though they are 1A school, should come into this game as a favorite. They did beat Rushville 48-26 last year. The Rushville Lions certainly going under a rebuild right now. They were 0-9 last year. They do bring back several of their kids from last year's team, so they won't be lacking in experience, but they are inexperienced in winning games. And Austin Vance back at quarterback, that's pretty important for that Lions team to have their signal caller back. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable under center this year, has a better understanding of the playbook, and can get the Lions in some better situations offensively. The same will not be true for Milan, who will be playing with a fairly new quarterback in Braden Roerig, who has only had a few career snaps at the varsity level. He's certainly a talented kid. We talked to Coach Ryan Langfermann several weeks ago about the potential of Roerig taking over at quarterback. He has four career attempts, but hey, this is a kid that's going to have a chance to get out there under the Friday night lights and show why he is a starting caliber player, and he's going to have some playmakers to help him out, specifically in the run game. Milan's going to look to maybe be more of a run-centric team this year with Logan Reed coming back, 700 yards and 10 touchdowns a year ago. Riley Johnson, one of their best defenders and one of their best athletes, going to move over to offense and run the ball a little bit for this team. Admittingly, wide receiver will be a little bit of an inexperienced spot for them, and they just lost some exceptional wide receivers in Carson Asherman and Adam Norman. So that's my big takeaway from this game coming up against Rushville. Look for Milan to run the ball a little bit more, and they certainly got some size and athleticism on their offensive line, going to be led by Braylon Nudds. Nolan Ryan has been a standout this offseason. They got some younger guys that can step in and play as well. Trenton Langfermann, Mason Johnson, among others. So again, the shift in focus for Milan. They got some solid defenders out there as well. When you start looking at Riley Johnson at safety, Alex Winger, who has played at an all-state level at defensive end for three seasons, really. Now they'll bring back Alec Barker at linebacker to kind of head up that defense. So again, Milan should be considered, I think, the favorite in this game going up against Rushville at home on Friday. Some of the other area games that will be happening on Friday: Batesville will play host Indian Creek. Franklin County travels to Newcastle, and Switzerland County will host Crawford County. And I always like to go over to the John Harrell site and look at the predictions for these particular games. Just talked a little bit about Milan perhaps being the favorite in that game against Rushville, and this is all based on the Sagarin ratings, and basically you just kind of got to go from last year, I think, if you are John Harrell. But just scrolling down through here, he actually does not have the predictions up yet for this Friday, so that's something we'll have to wait on. But anyway you slice it, we are excited for the high school football season to start, and excited that fall sports are back in general. So we hope that you can join us this Friday for the East Central Lawrenceburg game. As I mentioned, 6:40 will be pregame coverage, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on your hometown radio station. And you don't want to miss the pregame, because we will hear from Coach Ryan Kniga and Coach Jake Miners. Always fun catching up with those two. And as mentioned, the South Dearborn Knights were unable to make it tonight, but that is okay because we have rescheduled them for next Monday's edition of Crunch Time. So something to look forward to, and hopefully the Knights are coming into the Eagles' nest next Monday 1-0 with a win over Seymour. Appreciate everybody listening tonight. Also got to thank Ortho Sensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for sponsoring the show. Couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without you, the listeners. We'll be back with Crunch Time next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.